this is Kumar.
Hey, and it's Graham.
Welcome to the Pellicast.
Today's Pellicast is brought to you by Steiner Sports Memorabilia. You get a 20% off your purchase at checkout with the promo code ALMIGHTY. That's ALMIGHTY. Steiner Sports is the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. So that's pretty cool. I have my prize Dan Dickow autographed shirt. I don't know if that would really go for anything. But if you're trying to get maybe something a little bit more, you know, worth something or from a relevant name, check out Steiner Sports. Check out the promo code ALMIGHTY. Yeah.
Check it out.
Check it out.
Get your memorabilia. Who knows? You might have retro Buddy Hield Pelicans memorabilia.
Yeah, anything Buddy Hield is retro now.
I have my Buddy Hield shirt, number 24. I'm glad I did not invest in a full jersey, but a jersey. So happy with the choice there.
I wish I had gotten one. I'm sad.
I am sad.
I'm sad.
But we'll get to that. Speaking of Buddy, let's talk about All-Star Weekend. Let's talk about the 3 days. So the first night was obviously the celebrity game, which I don't think anyone paid attention to.
Yeah, I knew Mark Cuban was in it. He made some kind of apparent Trump joke. I don't know. He was wearing, it was like number 46 or something. That's literally the only thing I know about the celebrity game.
So for those of you who don't know, I ended up going to all three event, or not all three, all 3 days of All-Star Weekend. And it started out with the celeb game. I did this weird promotion thing where I signed up to be a courtside seat filler for the Rising Stars game. Now, what was going to happen was we were supposed to be ushered into the Rising Stars game, and we were to take the seats of any people courtside who got up to make them look like they were filled. Interesting thing, I never knew this thing existed, but right before the game, about an hour before it, we were waiting outside to go in. They said, we are at capacity. We don't need the seat fillers. So sorry. Oh. And I'm like, oh man, that sucks. But they're like, we'll hook you up to free tickets to the celeb game, which is going on right now. You can see the second half. So I was like, okay, that's cool. So the celeb game was in the Superdome. And we walked in. It was kind of cool. We walked in through the media entrance. We felt kind of special. And it was absolutely bizarre. Like, it didn't even feel like there was like a basketball arena, obviously, because it isn't. But it felt like some haphazardly put together YMCA gym with a lot of people that happened to be in the stands. I don't remember anything particularly memorable from the celeb game. I didn't stay that long. I do remember they did the mannequin challenge at one point, and Romeo liked to hog the ball a lot. That's what I remember.
I think I saw this the mannequin challenge, and I remember one person messing it up.
Yeah, and then they had the impersonator. He did like the James Harden impersonation. So that drew some laughs from the crowd. But in the middle of that, I got a text from a friend. He said, hey, I'm not going to be able to make the Rising Stars game. You should go in my stead. And I was like, oh, wow, absolutely. So got the tickets, walked across the street from the Superdome to the arena. Had some pretty decent seats. And we watched Buddy attempt to get MVP, only to be shown up by Jamal Murray. Which was incredibly ironic and kind of let, like, Pelicans Twitter in a fury. They were like, oh, man, we really should have drafted Murray. You know, those people that come out of the woodworks every once in a while, like every time Murray does something good, they're like, man, we should have drafted Murray. But
I think I saw on Twitter both Anthony Davis and Tim Frazier were disappointed because Buddy stopped shooting every time he touched it, and they're like, why aren't you still shooting it? You should still be shooting it.
Yeah. AD was sitting courtside, or baseline courtside, and I saw him like go onto the court physically like several times when everybody was doing something. So the support was awesome, but clearly Buddy was upstaged, and we all know what happened. But it was an interesting event. I'm trying to remember who performed. There wasn't any particularly good performer. I don't remember.
So, oh my goodness. Oh geez, I know this. Oh, this is gonna kill me. Who was performing? There was John Legend.
No, that was Sunday night. So
you're right.
So this is Friday night, and the important people don't perform Friday night.
No.
So clearly they weren't important because I don't remember anything. But the game itself was entertaining. We got some free swag. Mountain Dew was giving out some high-powered energy drink along with some fatheads of they were giving out, or I don't know if you call them fatheads, but they're cutouts of faces, like giant cutouts of faces. So I managed to pick up Giannis Antetokounmpo, Isaiah Thomas, and Russell Westbrook. It was a pretty good haul.
That's a good haul.
I think those are the only people they had. I think that's who were sponsored by Mountain Dew. I don't know how it worked, but it was a pretty good haul. So Friday was all right. Disappointing Buddy didn't get the MVP. Saturday and Sunday night, I actually had some pretty nice tickets. They were like dead center court in the 300 section, but you could see everything. And Saturday night, again, was disappointing. Anthony Davis getting eliminated in the first round of the Skills Challenge by Nikola Jokic. Enthusiastic, yeah. I guess.
I will say, word for it. I don't think anything that night was disappointing.
The three-point contest with crowd favorite Eric Gordon. When he was first introduced, there were audible boos across the stadium. And when it came to his round, he managed to shut those boos up. He hit 25. He scored 25, which was the most in the first round. Somehow Kyle Lowry managed not to crack double digits, which was doubly impressive. But the crowd was actively rooting against Eric Gordon in the final couple rounds. I think he choked on the final round to send it to overtime. He hit like 18 or whatever was needed by like the second to last rack, and he just absolutely choked, and the crowd loved it. And then we all know the story. He came from behind or from head or whatever. He won. He won the 3-point contest. And I wasn't happy about that.
So if you're listening to this podcast, you probably get the Eric Gordon hate. It lives within every single Pelicans fan. I mean, this guy never wanted to be here. You know, he's talented. He can play basketball. There's a long time where people were just like, get him out of here, or he sucks. Like, he doesn't suck. He's a good player. He just won the 3-point competition. Like, come on. But, you know, if you're not really, you know, paid attention to the Pelicans, like most of the NBA community hasn't for the last couple years, it might not make too much sense. So if you're one of those people, this guy does not like our team. Never liked our team. Doesn't like our organization. Never wanted to be here. Didn't give the effort. Never put in the effort or the time. Never gave him the light of day. You know, I'm not going to quote. That's just it. You know, I'm not going to go into any other stories. But, you know, if I would have been there, I probably would have booed too.
Stories.
Sometimes it's fun. It's fun to, like, hate on people, you know.
It is. Well, and there's one thing about the city is you cannot like it, and that's okay. You cannot like the team you're on, and that's okay. But when you go out of your way to make that known, the people in the city do not take kindly to that. There's a certain. I think that applies to all cities, but I think New Orleans particularly takes pride and accepts you as one of their own if you embrace the city. Like, New Orleans loves that from its athletes and its prominent figures. And it all started with Eric Gordon when we matched his contract. And initially, he was like, my heart is in Phoenix. That put a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths. And some people got over that, some people didn't. But everything that he has done since he has been in Houston has not helped his image in the slightest. And I don't think he cares. And frankly, he shouldn't. It's, you know, his life. He's making millions of dollars to play basketball in a city he finally wants to play in, and he's on a good team. Good for him. But, yeah. man, do I despise the things he has to say.
Yeah. Yeah. So, in, like, a sense, it was a disappointing weekend.
Yeah,
right.
The dunk contest sucked, man. Like
the dunk contest sucked. Yeah.
The dunk contest sucked. Aaron Gordon, okay, so like the crowd kind of got hyped because, you know, Aaron Gordon, you expected him to put on a show after what he did in Toronto, and he pulled out a drone, and everyone's like, oh, yeah, and there's Star Wars music playing, and people were pretty hype, and then he misses, like, his first six attempts, and you're like, oh,
yeah, apparently,
God.
Like, he broke the rules or something. There's rules against...
They allowed him an extra attempt, like the judges conferred or whatever. They allowed him. Stupid. They broke like the rules for him. And you know what made it worse? You know what made it worse? Saturday night, they had a performer. I remember who it was because it was DJ Khaled, and it was god-awful. Like, first of all, DJ Khaled... I'm not sure he raps or sings or whatever in any of his songs besides yelling like, we the best or whatever. and all he did was play songs that he didn't actually do anything on except for produce or be a DJ in. And you know what he did? He tried to hype up the home crowd by saying, let's go Miami. What up Miami? Shout out Miami.
When we got Drew his first game, they let him, you know, it was the first game of the season. Drew Holiday's like, all right, Sixers fans.
But, like, okay, Drew did it once and he apologized.
Yeah,
DJ Khaled did it, like, 18 times. I would love to be in that guy's headspace, man. Where you think this is Miami? All right, but that didn't do anything to hype the crowd up or get them involved. And, you know, the dunk contest sucked following that. DeAndre Jordan brought out DJ Khaled as a prop. And I honestly thought he was going to jump over DJ Khaled. But no, he just jumped over the turntables. Like, I can't dunk, but I can jump over turntables. Like, that's not that impressive. But
it's like a red, you know, it's a red carpet. It's not... Like, even Buddy losing the rookie game to Jamal Murray, Davis getting beat out in the skills challenge again.
I totally forgot Steph missing, like, 14 half-court shots where he was hopefully I can do it in three, and he missed all of them.
That was sad. And that was for the Sager Strong, too. So
I know. God, Steph, that's not a good look. And then they brought out like everybody and their mother to donate the $10,000 for every shot made. That was fun.
And then Shaq grabbed the youngest Sager,
yeah,
and let him dunk or whatever he did from up close. And I mean, those were nice. Those are nice moments.
Yeah, that was nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, Steph missing all the shots.
It's a red, you know, it's a red carpet event. It's for the players. It's for the people, the community. They don't put effort into it.
Yeah.
I don't know about any of that. Like, it's disappointing Eric Gordon won a trophy for something, but I don't really care. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, it's just a trophy.
Yeah, who cares?
But, you know, obviously the following night was the main event with the All-Star game, and, you know, you could tell from the first shot that they were feeding Anthony Davis. Like, that was their game plan.
Yeah, well, that's what Buddy didn't stick to the game plan. They were feeding Buddy, and he stopped shooting. And then Davis put up, like, 40 shots or something, you know? So,
like, 35 of them were dunks, but, like...
Yeah.
It was fun. It was fun. It was entertaining. The crowd was into it. They loved Westbrook. Westbrook, you know, he obviously wasn't even being fed. He still put up 41, and they benched him. You're like, okay, you're not going to break the record. Davis is. that was interesting.
Yeah, anybody was just going to go against the grain and do whatever the hell he wanted to do. It was going to be Westbrook. So that was
funny. He was trying to go for the three-peat All-Star MVP. I don't blame him. I mean, Westbrook is built for the All-Star game. Giannis Antetokounmpo was great too. He's like the bigger Westbrook. He's the only one playing defense as well.
Well, it was his first All-Star game, right? So like he was hype.
Yeah.
He's into it.
Very much so.
Yeah.
That was nice. But, you know, Davis brought home the trophy, raised it above his head, broke world's record. festivities. It was good. It was good.
I didn't even see any of that happen. You want to know why?
Oh, why? Wait, why? Why wouldn't you have seen Davis doing all the fun stuff?
My eyes were on Twitter.
Oh, what was going on Twitter?
Shocking Twitter announcements. Something about Omri Caspi.
Oh, the blockbuster Omri Caspi trade.
That's right.
Yeah, I was at the game, and I was like, you know, obviously scrolling through Twitter, and they were like, New Orleans is emerged as a strong contender for DeMarcus Cousins, and I was like, what?
Yeah, sure.
All right. And I didn't think anything of it.
The other center.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, all right, you know, Jahlil Okafor, Brook Lopez, DeMarcus Cousins, okay. And because earlier that day, there was reports like, all right, New Orleans is offering yada, yada, yada for the package. And I'm like, that's nowhere enough for DeMarcus Cousins. Like, yeah. Okay. I mean, they're like, are they going to laugh at us? Is this to, like, raise the price from Boston? Like, what's going on here? Is this New Orleans trying to lowball the Nets? Like, oh, we're actually going after DeMarcus instead? Like, I was like, there's something weird going on here. But where were you when the news, like, the actual news broke? Where were you? What were you doing?
When did the actual news break? It was that, wasn't it, like, just late that night?
It was like, right after the All-Star game, around maybe, like, 10:45, 11 o'clock.
I was in bed.
All right. And were you scrolling through Twitter? Did someone text you? How'd you find out?
I mean, I was watching all the stuff, you know, the game, the Twitter. I was just following the story. I was falling asleep. I remember because I was just retweeting everything on my news feed. And one of the guys I follow is like some other blogger who doesn't know anything. And one of the other Bourbon Street Shot guys, Mason Gensberg, messages me like, dude, you're retweeting the same guy over and over again. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm falling asleep. I gotta get up there. And then within like 40 seconds of him messaging me and me, you know, about to close Twitter, I see it. I'm just like, what?
Yeah.
No. I didn't know how to react. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it for about 20 minutes. Even after like Woj and Stein both reported it, and I still didn't believe it.
Yeah, I didn't believe it until I think maybe today at the press conference. But I was like, I just come home from the All-Star game, and on the car ride back, like, you know, the phone was blowing up. My friends were texting me. They're like, hey, like, are we gonna get DeMarcus? Are we gonna get Boogie? And I was like, yeah, I'll stop getting your hopes up. This is silly. We're not gonna get DeMarcus. But, you know, it was intriguing. I'm like, I don't even know what the discussions are going on. The All-Star game just happened. Why would a trade be happening anytime soon? I was like, we're probably going to have more news tomorrow. But I get home, and I had hardly settled down. And my phone just blows up. And one of my friends had called me. He's like, we traded for DeMarcus. I was like, no way. And I checked, sure enough, Woj had tweeted out New Orleans. The New Orleans Pelicans have acquired DeMarcus Cousins. And I was like, holy crap. And you know what my friend told me? He was like, man, I can't believe we gave up Buddy. And I was like, yeah, exactly. I was like, are you serious? But really, like, when I saw that, I was like, I didn't know how to comprehend it. I was like, what's going on? We have DeMarcus Cousins. What did we give up? Did we trade away literally everything? Did we get rid of Drew? Did we get rid of Buddy? Did we get rid of every first we have? Like,
I was worried it was three firsts. Like, I was thinking, like, maybe two firsts and a very heavily third. I don't even know.
Yeah, and I was talking myself into, I was like, you know what? I don't care what we gave up for him. Like, you give Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins together, like, this is an opportunity of a lifetime. Like, you give up the farm. You do this. I was talking myself into that. And then the news trickled out. The Pelicans gave up Tyreek Evans, Langston Galloway, Buddy Hield, and a protected 2017 first. And I guess the second. The Sixers second rounder. That's it. That's all they gave up. That's less than they were rumored to give up for Brook Lopez. Or like what people want, what Brooklyn wanted for Brook Lopez. That's it. That was absolutely crazy. And I think...
I'm just sitting here shaking my head because I'm still in disbelief.
I couldn't process the information for a good 2 days. How many days has it been? 2-3 days?
And then, it feels like it's been... Actually, it feels like it's been like a very short amount of time. It feels like it just happened now.
Every time I read the words like DeMarcus Cousins, Pelican Center, I just start cracking up. Like, I just start giggling, and there's times just randomly throughout the day, I'm like, oh my God, we have DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis. And I can't help but laugh. Like, that's the only reaction I have to this. And like, I think, you know, Chris Axman of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network, he hit us up and he wanted us on the podcast immediately. So listeners, if you haven't listened to that podcast, please check it out. You have my live reactions of what went on that night. I got on the pod with a few others, so definitely give that a listen.
It's basically just like a group of people losing their minds.
Yeah,
if you want to listen to
that's
that.
That's basically what it is. If you want to get hype, if you want to listen to people collectively losing their minds, that is a great podcast to listen to. And we try to be rational. We try to have some discussion on the future and what it may hold. But man, it's a little like, oh my God, we got DeMarcus Cousins, or I like the Pelicans got DeMarcus Cousins. That's absolutely crazy.
It is.
Absolutely crazy.
Like, I'm still like, I'm kind of at a loss for words still, you know. There's been tons of content out there. Tons.
And so much content. So much media.
Listened to almost all of it, and I still have like no idea what's gonna happen.
I don't think anyone does.
Yeah.
There was a small part of me on Monday, I was like, Vladi and Vivek are reading all the tweets, they're seeing the media reaction, and they're going to DeAndre Jordan us. They're going to back right out of this. They're going to get cold feet. There's like no way. There's no way we can do this. I'm sure like Danny Ainge and Mitch and whoever were all blowing up his phone. Like, I can't believe you did this. Take it back. We'll give you more. I was confident that like something was going to fall apart, but then the trade call went through. Pelicans tweeted their official stuff. They put it up on the billboards at the Smoothie King Center. And I'm like, man, this is real. This is happening. It's just all surreal to me.
Surreal is a good way to put it.
Surreal is a good way to put it. Oh,
what's the poster saying? It's Mardi Gras
Happy
time.
Mardi Gras. Let's boogie.
Let's boogie. Yeah. That's
so good.
There's so many. The puns are back. This is what I miss about the Pelican, or sorry, the Hornets. You know, I'm down with the Pelicans name, the color scheme, and the logos and all that. But the Hornets had the puns. You had Live at the Hive. The used to bees were hilarious. I don't even remember what the Hornets dancers were, but they had a nickname, and then you had the nicknames everywhere.
And then you had like puns. The fan. I forgot what the fan. Like, you know, you have like the Swoop Troop and like the Pelicans. Like, I guess fan. I forgot what they call their fan group, but they had a Hornet-specific one as well. That was really clever. Yeah, they had all types of puns. It was great.
Puns are back.
Puns are back.
Puns are making a comeback.
And Boogie and the Brow. The Brow and Bougie.
Boogie.
Cooking that quote with the Druzy. No, okay.
Okay.
But let's talk a little bit about the kind of fallout, the kind of ripple effect it's had. You've seen, obviously, a lot coming out from the Sacramento Kings, how Vivek, his fixation was with Buddy Hield. He viewed him as a Steph Curry-type player who had the potential to be one of the greatest shooters, I guess. I don't know what Vivek thinks. He was one of the only owners at Buddy Hield's pro day before the draft. And with the news that's come out today, apparently he told Buddy twice, both times we played him, we're still going to get you. Like, this is crazy. The man's obsessed with Buddy. And
well, I mean, let's – like, Dell Demps told Solomon Hill that, right? Like that, like Dell Demps was like, "Hey, even if we can't draft you, like we're gonna try to get you at some point."
Right.
Like he's told him that. So I mean, people are like, "That's
but
like,
that's that." It's not the creepiness. It's the fixation. And then the reports that came out that you know he didn't really entertain other offers. He didn't. The phone calls didn't go through from other teams. He just had a one track mind, buddy. And you can tell Vladdy was not happy with that. He mentioned, like, yeah, I had a better offer on the table 2 days ago. And
he said it exactly like that. So
and it was like, what's going on? And so thank you, Vivek. Thank you for having such an obsession with Buddy Hield. And thank you, Buddy Hield, man. Like, I loved him. Everybody, he was here, and I'm legitimately sad to see him go. He's a great guy. Sacramento picked up a great human being.
I hope for the last like 20 odd games or whatever. I don't know how many.
Hope he has the greenest of green lights.
Yeah, me too.
Greener than green light Galloway. But no, if there's one guy to turn around a culture in Sacramento, it's Buddy. He is an infectious personality. Anybody around him is gonna be happy. Like, he's relentlessly positive. Like, that's a good guy to have in the locker room, so good on them. But going back to the ripple effects of the Boogie trade, like, you know, all that happened with Sacramento. Now the Lakers just fired their front office. They fired Jim Buss, they fired Mitch Kupchak, and basically reports came out that Jeannie Buss felt that if they traded for DeMarcus, they would have been able to calm him down and keep him, and you know, they would have a superstar in LA to attract other superstars. Dell Demps trading for DeMarcus Cousins at such a low price basically got another front office fired.
I mean, there were already straws on that camel's back. Like, Dell Demps or the Lakers' inability to get DeMarcus or whatever have you might have been one of the straws on the camel's back. There are other straws already there. Like, it's not like Demps doing this low ball deal with the Kings like makes the Lakers look so bad that, you know what, we're just gonna fire you. Like, they were already, you know.
Yeah, they were on their way to be fired, I guess. But still, it's crazy.
It's
that
nice.
This was the catalyst.
Yeah, it's nice to be like proud of a move.
Dell Demps wrecked two franchises with one move, and he had the balls to ask for a top three protected pick. Who asked for that, man? Like, when you're going through negotiations, you're like, "Yep, okay, you know, we'll agree to send DeMarcus over to you along with Omri, which is not a bad throw in at all." And Dell's like, "Okay, well, we're gonna protect this pick."
Apparently they had like face-to-face negotiations on this as well.
Yeah, they were all in New Orleans, but like that's absolutely crazy.
It's ridiculous.
Absolutely crazy.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like what?
And now you look at the trade market for other players. Like, there was Stein reported that Brooklyn is no longer asking for two firsts; they'll settle with one first, and how.
I think Wilson Chandler and both Gallinari, Denver seeking like a mid-first and an expiring four.
They might be able to get that. Lou Will got a late first and a crap contract with what's-his-face, Corey Brewer. So they still, like, you know, wings are in hot demand. Like, I don't think the market for wings necessarily depreciated, but...
No.
Definitely, like, the whole Brooke Lopez, like, they're not fetching much for him.
No. They get a first today.
Yeah.
Brooklyn finally got a first-round pick from Washington.
And that was a good pick. That was a good trade.
That was a good trade. I mean, that's not a high pick. Washington's on fire in their money, so.
Yeah.
I think that's a good trade for them.
But they need all the assets they can grab.
I'll ask you. So, like... Not the exact trade, but something similar, like Buddy, a protected first, and like Tyreek, and whatever works. You know, for Brooke, would you do that? No. Would you do a similar type trade for Brooke that we just gave for
Absolutely not. I would. Buddy would be the sticking point.
You wouldn't give up Buddy in that deal?
Would not. Nope.
Okay. Interesting.
Nope. Doo. Sorry, that's my phone going off.
Oh, I liked it.
Yeah, yeah. It was but catchy. I would not give up, buddy, in that scenario at all. Maybe, I don't know if it's hindsight, knowing how little we gave up for DeMarcus.
Yeah.
I don't know if you would have asked me before the DeMarcus trade. I think before the DeMarcus trade, I would have been like, no, I'm not giving up Buddy for Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I really didn't want to give up Buddy. And I didn't think anybody really wanted him that bad.
Seriously.
I still can't get over this. Like, everybody has just crapped on this pick. Right? Like, I didn't give, you know, I didn't really care that much about the rookie game, but the rookie game was just like validating everybody else's opinion that, oh, Buddy's already 23. He's not going to be that good. He's got a super low ceiling. Murray was the better pick. Like, everybody's just been on that all season long. And, well, we flipped Buddy for DeMarcus, so.
Clearly, Buddy's more valuable.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Like, if we had Murray, would we even have wanted to flip him? Like, that's the thing. We can debate these hypotheticals. We have DeMarcus Cousins. We have Boogie Cousins.
Boogie. Boogie on down. Electric Avenue.
Well, before we sort of talk about Boogie and his fit with the team and the presser, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back. Welcome back.
We got for you here history segment. Woo!
My favorite.
Most recent history, Buddy Hield. This will be a remembering Buddy Hield moment.
Aw, RIP.
Buddy as a Pelican played 57 games, starting 37, with a total of 1,161 minutes, averaging 8.6 points, 1.4 assists, almost 3 rebounds, and barely over 20 minutes per game. Buddy was terrible the first 20 games of the season. He was awful. He couldn't hit a shot. He couldn't drive. He couldn't dribble. He couldn't defend. But then, Buddy Hield, back at home in Oklahoma. Well, not really home, but back in Oklahoma on the 4th of December. Half of his shots were air balls, but he managed to shoot 6 of 12 from the field and 4 of 7 from 3, the 3 misses being air balls. Since that game, he's actually been a 40.6% shooter from the field. And Kumar, what do you think his 3-point percentage is?
Really high. I remember this being a focal point of all the Pels PR and media. It was hovering around 50. I think it took a step back. I'm going to say 44.
You're very close. It's actually 43. Exactly 43. It went down the stretch before the All-Star break. He kind of went in a slump. Mm-hmm. But that's still very good. I mean, 43% from three. That's awesome. But Buddy only scored 20-plus points 2 times, so we never really got to see Buddy Buckets.
Buddy Buckets. I can't wait until he has an outburst. Because the pressure in Sacramento is not going to be to make the playoffs. Sure, like, they're going to say, like, yeah, we're a game and a half out. Let's try to make the playoffs anyway. And they might. I mean, players don't actually want to lose. But he doesn't have the same pressure. You know, you're playing with a superstar, Anthony Davis and Drew Holiday. Like, you're worried about messing up, making a mistake. Like, he's going to be told by Vivek to, like, let it fly. And one of the nights where he lets it fly, he's going to hit on a lot of shots. And I'm very, very excited for that to happen.
I am hoping for that to happen. I like Buddy. I'm going to miss Buddy. What was your favorite memory of Buddy Hield?
My favorite memory, I was at the Clippers game, and he did the double behind the back and ran Chris Paul into a very hard screen and nailed a 3 in transition. And I think we ended up winning that Clippers game. Maybe we didn't. Maybe that wasn't the
no,
one.
No, I think that's the one we won. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. But yeah, he had the. It was either between that or when it was like when we had first drafted him and he had like he was wearing his jersey as a cape and he was like, "I'm gonna save New Orleans." So I'm like, "Man, this guy, this guy's hilarious." I actually met him. I met him in person. I got a picture with him, and he's a real nice dude. And the picture is now hanging up in my office cubicle, and it always will. It's a retro memorabilia picture.
Nice. Retro. That was the game. Okay, so he did that. We did win that Clippers game.
What about you? What was your favorite buddy moment?
I don't know. There were a couple moments where he got just the absolute living crap stuffed out of him that I thought were hilarious. That's not really a positive memory.
There was one by Boogie. If you got to look it up. Boogie.
There's one where Boogie actually just I mean, he's not even alive anymore. Like, Buddy just has ceased to exist after that block.
Yep.
I think DeAndre Jordan had one. It wasn't in that Clippers game. It was in a different Clippers game.
LeBron blocked him.
The nut shot was pretty good.
Oh, the infamous nut shot. Buddy grabbed Boogie by the balls.
The Buddy Boogie grab.
And, yeah, who would have thunk that crotch grab would have brought Boogie to New Orleans? I'm going to pin it on that.
Buddy, we will remember you. Good luck.
Good Farewell. Luck. Have a great Good career. Luck. Hope you turn into Steph Curry.
Yes, the next Steph.
The next Steph.
There's always a second one, right? There's always a second superstar who's just like you, right?
Yeah.
There's like a second Michael Jordan and a second.
There isn't a second Michael Jordan, but there was like a Kobe, you know? So like you That's have true. A similar, you have your evolution or like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Your evolution. Yeah. So like, you know, Ray Allen and then there's, yeah, Ray Allen. Maybe he's the next Ray Allen. Let's hope so.
There you go. Reggie.
Shoot, and even if he tops out as like a Wesley Matthews type player, like I'd be very happy for him.
I think he'll have double digit years in the league.
Yeah.
He'll have a good career. He'll probably average. Hopefully he gets up to like 20 some year. I don't know. I would just like to see him be, you know, just a scorer.
It's 2022 and the All-Star game is back in New Orleans and the starters are Buddy Hield, Anthony Davis, and DeMarcus Cousins. Be great.
And
Drew Holiday.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. Next part of the history segment. I just have the parameters of the only other blockbuster deal involving a superstar in Pelicans Hornets history. That would be the infamous Al-Farouq Aminu trade.
And the Chris Kaman trade.
Chris Kaman, did you know, was an All-Star one year.
I forget that Kaman was actually a functional player. Right. It seemed like he didn't do anything since we got him and the rest of his career.
2009 and 2010, his second to last year in Los Angeles, he averaged 18.5 points per game, 9.3 rebounds, and he replaced what injured guard?
What year was this?
2009, 2010. He replaced
injured guard in the West.
What injured guard?
Deron Williams.
That is incorrect.
Chris Paul.
No.
I don't know who were.
Brandon Roy,
of course. Guard. That should have like rang alarm bells in my head.
There's a bunch of replacements in this game.
I'm like, yeah, 18-9 is a really weak All-Star.
Kobe Bryant, Chris Paul, and Brandon Roy all did not play because of injury. Allen Iverson didn't play to personal reason. Chauncey Billup replaced Chris Paul. Chris Kaman replaced Brandon Roy. Jason Kidd replaced Kobe Bryant. And David Lee replaced Allen Iverson.
David Lee. Two-time All-Star David Lee.
That's right. One-time All-Star Chris Kaman. This is a crazy year. Look, this starting lineup for the East is Allen Iverson, Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, Kevin Garnett, and Dwight Howard. And you got Joe Johnson, Rajon Rondo, Derrick Rose, Paul Pierce, Gerald Wallace when he was on the Bobcats.
Oh, God.
Chris Bosh, Al Horford, David Lee. That's the East. Coached by Stan Van Gundy of the then Orlando Magic.
Of course. You remember the Devin Harris, Jameer Nelson, Mo Williams? Like, those East had some crazy selections during those years, man.
Yeah. They had some weird ones. And then, oh, my God. The West is just stacked as crap. Look at this. Steve Nash and Kobe Bryant, point guard.
Oh, they've never been on a team together. How would that work?
I don't know how that would work. Carmelo Anthony, Tim Duncan, Amari Stoudemire. Then you got Chauncey Billups, Jason Kidd. Steve Nash and Jason Kidd and Chris Paul are all on this all-star team. And Darren Williams and Brandon Roy and Kevin Durant. Jeez, that's an amazing team. This was Kevin Durant's first All-Star game.
When's the last time the East won the All-Star game?
I don't know. This isn't even what we were talking about. We were talking about the Al-Farouq Aminu trade.
Oh, yes, the Al-Farouq Aminu trade.
Oh, but also, that Western team was coached by George Karl. Look at that.
Good for him.
But that was Chris Kaman's All-Star year, 2009-2010. Look it up. Interesting stuff. Actually, I was looking at this Chris Paul trade. I mean, we didn't really get much. Like, Eric Gordon was supposed to be more than he was. I guess in hindsight, you know, it doesn't look as good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, during the time, you're like, okay, you have a budding superstar in Eric Gordon. You have a potential, you have a lottery pick in Al-Farouq Aminu, who was the eighth pick at that time, I believe. And he was coming off a rookie year. He's a small forward, a super athletic small forward, where he shot like 33%, I think, from three. And you're like, man, it's super promising. And you got the Minnesota pick, which ended up being 10. But like, there was talks like, hey, Minnesota could be really bad. That could have been like a much better pick. And then obviously you got salary with Chris Kaman.
And so, Gordon was well on his way to being a star. He was, that year before, he was averaging 22 points per game.
22-4-4 or something like that.
Yeah, 22.3 and 4.4 assists. Yeah. And the thing was, he was shooting 6.2 free throws a game too. Like, he was drawing fouls. Like, that's something you look for. He's getting over 4 assists, shooting over 36% from 3, and he's drawing tons of fouls. So, I mean, that's promising. You know, that part of his game where he attacked and drew fouls just disappeared after that season. But yeah.
Well, enough Eric Gordon talk. We've spent entirely too much time discussing this man on a podcast where we have Boogie Cousins on the Pelicans. Boogie Cousins. Okay. So, the presser, it happened today. A lot's happened since the trade. Boogie's finally in a Pelican uniform. What were your thoughts on all the news that came out today?
The presser was great. I mean, I don't know if it's online. I hope it would be.
It is, pelicans.com.
There you go. But it was good. Boogie was very forthcoming and honest in his answers, which is something that has been reported before. It's like, he's an honest guy. But it was sincere in a good way, and he was even he even made light of himself, right? Like, they asked, like, you know, how competitive are you? And he's like, I'm 17 technicals competitive, or whatever it was. It was hilarious, you know. So it was good. And he spoke very highly of the way he'd been treated by the Pelicans organization, and then at the same time, straight up called Sacramento dishonest. So
he speaks his mind. Not hesitant about that.
Not hesitant at all. So I mean, there was a lot of juxtaposition here. Like, we put Boogie on our private, not our. I don't own a jet.
It's ours collectively. we pay tickets. We pay Tom Benson.
That's true. Our. So we put Buggy on our private jet with our coach and GM and owner, and have gone out of our way to welcome him as and make him feel as welcome as he can. Whereas Buddy, Tyreek, and all those guys had to take commercial flights into Sacramento and all this stuff. So, it's good. Like, it's so weird. It's a very surreal time where we've made a move to get a superstar and are doing things right and being talked about highly.
We have a superstar. Those words are incomprehensible. Like, we have a superstar that's not Anthony Davis.
Yeah.
This 2 weeks ago, we were talking ourselves into Okafor, Ibaka, Vucevic, or whatever big man. Like, I think, I don't even remember what kind of big man we talked about on the podcast. That's what we were talking about. Like, and we were like, man, this franchise is depressing. We're going to trade another pick for Evan Fournier. Like, that's where we were 2 weeks ago. And all of a sudden, we have DeMarcus Cousins, a top 10 player in the league. You know, clearly Anthony Davis is on board. He's incredibly excited. They were talking about how the game they played in Sacramento last Sunday, Boogie and AD talked about teaming up, and Boogie was like, hey, you should come to Sacramento. And AD was like, nah, I'm good. Nah. You should come to New Orleans instead. And then, you know, they Friday or somewhere right before the All-Star game, Anthony texts DeMarcus. He's like, hey, I really want you to come. And DeMarcus was like, I didn't respond to that because I didn't really know how to answer it. And then DeMarcus runs into Dell on the street, and he's like, what's going on? And finally all that happens, and yeah. And DeMarcus is like, oh my god, I'm a Pelican now. And but yeah, it's absolutely unreal that this is a thing. And there's so many great nicknames coming out of this. Perhaps the best is what DeMarcus gave us in his conference. A little bit of fire, a little bit of ice. You got Boogie with the fire, AD with the ice.
I'm a fan.
I'm a fan. And, you know, AD showing the iciness where the reporters asked him today. So, yeah, you know, Boogie was trying to recruit you to Sacramento. What were your thoughts on that? He's like, that was never happening. Just straight up. He's like, I'm never going to Sacramento. Like, I would have won that battle. But, yeah.
I will say, it's very much a honeymoon period right now.
But oh, yeah.
This is far, 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 far from a guaranteed workout. Like, this is... this could go south.
This could go up
in the talking spaces. But this is the NBA, right? You got to take your chance to get the top talent when you can. And at the price that we did, like, there's no way you could turn that down. Like, they had to make this move.
No. I mean, you have the opportunity to get a player like that. You make that move every time. You figure out the off-court stuff. You figure out the basketball fit. You get that talent.
You get the talent when you can.
Yeah.
You do it.
There's no other opportunity. What are you saving those picks for? To draft a guy like DeMarcus? Like, that's never going to happen. Not in this franchise.
Yeah. But are there any... Well, I guess everybody knows the concerns. But... And we're a little bit biased on this podcast.
And if you want to check out more leveled, more reasonable takes on the concerns, do check out Bourbon Street Shots. Do check out Locked On Pelicans. I think Jake had a great interview with one of the reporters from Cowbell Kingdom.
He did.
Check that out. That's a very good perspective to have for someone that's worked with DeMarcus over the last few years. Give that a listen. But, I think Pelicans fans are happily looking the other way. They're willing to shove all that under the bed. And they're excited to start this new era of dominant big men playing together, along with the big three, with rounding out with Jrue Holiday.
Are you going to be at the game tomorrow?
I'm not. Tomorrow is my birthday, and tomorrow is Muses. For those of you who do not live in New Orleans, Mardi Gras is a huge deal. Muses is one of the premier parades. It's one of the larger ones.
Muses is my favorite, to be honest.
Yeah, and Muses is great, so I will be out there on St. Charles. Find me. I don't know. I might wear an Anthony Davis Mardi Gras jersey, so keep an eye out for that.
Mine's dirty. I've worn it like 2 days in a row.
That's okay. No one recognizes during Mardi Gras. Everyone's dirty.
That's true. That is true. But, so you're not like worried. Like you're psyched that we made this move.
Yeah, I'm not worried.
All right. Okay.
I think that, you know, they obviously took steps that resonated with DeMarcus in sending out that private plane. They brought along a close friend with Omri. I think that could not be understated. Those guys took a trip together to Israel a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. There's videos of them hanging out and broing out. There's a good, nice little bromance there. So, and they've done everything they can to accommodate him and make him feel as comfortable as possible.
Yeah.
So I think that'll all work out. Obviously, you know, if this team loses a lot, things might be different, but we'll get to that. You know, they have 25 games to kind of make something happen, hopefully make the playoffs, and then they got all of next season, you know, the training camp and all that to really, really get into it.
Yeah.
I love our potential starting five now. I love that they're making a point to include Drew Holiday in talks about a big three, and even listen to AD's interview today, and he's like, I haven't had someone I can rely on besides from Drew. He like makes it a point to say Drew's on his level. Like that's, he sees Drew, I mean, he may not internally see Drew on equal footing, but he made it a point to say that to the media.
Him making a point or the organization making a point?
I mean, he is the organization.
Okay. Good point. All right.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a concerted effort from the PR team. The, you know, them tweeting out like since, you know, January 23rd, Drew Holiday's averaged 23 points, 8 assists, all that stuff. To, you know, Dell making a point to mention him in the presser. To AD making a point, like they want to re-sign Drew, and Drew's gonna make bank this summer. And now all of a sudden the prospect of maxing Drew doesn't seem that bad because we already have that other superstar. Like, you can, like, yeah, you can max Drew, and that's fine because we have DeMarcus as well.
That's right.
And, yeah, but I mean, what do you think about, so, you know, we're playing the Rockets tomorrow. The last time we played the Rockets, they shot 61 threes against us. 61. Last time the Rockets played the Kings, they shot 50, and they set an NBA record for the number of makes. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow?
It's so hard to say. I'm not expecting a win. Like, I'll tell you that. I think to do so would... I don't know. I'm just trying to temper my expectations.
Yeah, me too. I mean, it's still hard to be optimistic about a franchise that's let you down consistently. Yeah. You're hesitant. You have trust issues. I definitely do.
But hey, it's gonna be nice. It's gonna be something to see. I'm gonna be there. I'm gonna be at the game.
That's so awesome. I hear tickets are selling out insanely fast. There was like a tweet. I think one of the Pelicans writers, Jim Eichenhofer, tweeted something about how the sales team has gotten like more calls than any like moment since they drafted AD.
Yeah.
And they're very, very happy about that. And that's great. I mean, that's what Tom Benson wants to hear.
Yeah. we're selling tickets.
We're selling tickets. No way. But yeah, I mean, obviously the prices for tickets are going up, but that's expected.
Yeah. Going back to the threes thing. I think the last time we played them, we weren't, I don't know. Like we've improved since then, and
sure.
The thing about this trade is we've kept all of our good perimeter defenders. Like Galloway was a good perimeter defender. We kept our number one.
Was he?
And number two, and Solomon Hill and Drew Holiday, and each one more is very capable. So you have three good, capable defenders from the 1-2-3 in the starting lineup, and then you have Davis and Cousins. And if you look at it, like, Cousins has never played with this much defensive talent before. Davis has never played with this athletic of a center before. The four-man lineup of Holiday, Moore, Hill and Davis has like a D rating of like 105, I think it is, which is not top 10, but close to it, or would be. They haven't played a ton of minutes, but it, you know, and then you go on the offensive side, and it's like, who knows what we'll see on the offensive side.
It's crazy because, you know, the pieces the Pelicans do have, DeMarcus Cousins, Dante Cunningham, Donatas Montiunas in the front court. There's so many different possibilities. They can go big, they can go small, they can go small big. Like, they can literally, they can swap out any player and put them in anywhere and create any type of lineup combination to match whatever the opponent throws out. And that's exciting.
And this is something other people have mentioned. They don't think, like, oh, like yeah, obviously DeMarcus changes all of our plans and a lot of our schemes. But I don't think it means the death of our, like, switchy defense.
No.
We saw at times Davis out there with Montiunas, and Montiunas sucks on defense, and they would still switch him. They switched him onto John Wall, like, an entire quarter.
They baited John Wall to ISO.
Exactly. So I don't think it's going to be, like, a huge scheme shift. Obviously, they'll have to change a lot of things, but,
yeah.
You know, this is a very capable defensive and offensive unit, at least in the starting lineup. We don't really have much of the rest of the roster now, but yeah. They got time to fill that out. So we signed a guy today, actually.
I hope we beat the crap out of the Rockets. I want to destroy them. I want the Boogie and the Brown. I want Fire and Ice. I want the Twin Span. I want them to send a message. Like, we here. We're here to take over the league. Forget small ball. Forget jacking threes. We are going to destroy you inside and out. Like,
nah, I just want a nice and easy loss.
I want a statement. I want Solomon Hill to check Eric Gordon into the stands.
Okay, I'm not calling for cheap shots.
Not cheap shots.
Okay. Last thing I got here for you, though. Talking about this down the stretch. This is what I got for you. What do you think about the playoff odds? What do you think?
I think it's doable. And, I mean, obviously it hinges upon whether Denver turns into a buyer or seller at this deadline. I think if they stand pat, I favor us. I think it's doable. I think 2 years ago we were down three and a half games at All-Star. Post All-Star, I think even like post All-Star, like a few weeks after post All-Star, we were down three games behind OKC at some point. I think like 60 games into the season, or like
we were like two games behind them with like less than 10 to go or something.
Yeah, so so it's doable. It's by no means guaranteed. It's doable.
Yeah, I have some. So here's what it is. Basically, we're 2.5 games behind Denver right now. We're one game behind Sacramento. I guess we could probably start counting them out. We're a half game behind both, or just we're a half game behind Portland. We're a half game ahead of Dallas and one game ahead of Minnesota. So there's a lot of teams right there. We have 12 home games left, 13 away games left. But in the last 10 games, in the last 10 games of the season, we get Dallas and Sacramento at home. We get Denver three times.
We have a brutal closing stretch. I think we play 4 and 5, and we play like Denver, Portland, Golden State, something like that.
But we have nine of our 25 games are against our competition for eighth place. That's huge. That's more than any of the other guys have. Yeah. I think Denver has 8 versus the competition. Sacramento and Minnesota both have 7. Portland has 6. Dallas has 5. So we have a losing record versus most of these teams besides Minnesota. So hopefully all that changes. But
that's why I want them to send a message.
Yeah.
I mean business. No, yeah. It's going to be tough. They're going to need to lock in. But it's doable. And I think they're going to get it. I'm going to go on record and say they are going to get it. And I'm going to go on record and say they're going to give Golden State one hell of a series. And
do it.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. All right, you got anything else for me?
I don't got anything else for you.
Oh, I guess before we did, Pelicans did make a signing today.
Oh, Pelicans did make a signing.
We should mention that. Hollis Thompson.
He's Mr. 40%.
Mr. 40%.
Well, close to it. He's a career 38% shooter. He's big. He's like 6'7", 6'8". Can play the two guard. Can play the small forward. Just kind of what we need.
Can play the two guard?
Kind of.
Kind of.
You know, with our guys, they'll put whoever out there. Like, I'm surprised they're not... Like, they'll probably try Caspi at two at some point. Like, they're going to throw out a lineup of Frazier, Caspi, Cunningham, Monta Yunus, Boogie. Like, I don't know.
Like, the opposite of small ball.
Yeah.
But still kind of switchy. Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
But we didn't talk about Caspi.
We didn't. We didn't talk about Caspi. No one is talking about Caspi.
No one's... Poor guy didn't even get asked questions in the press conference. Like, he had one question...
His one question was probably like,
"Do you like shooting threes?"
Yeah. Like, how does it feel? Isn't this crazy that Boogie and AD are together? Yeah, man.
I think that's exactly what it was. How do you feel about those two guys? They're cool. They're good.
They're sitting right next to me. I flew over here with one of them.
Yeah.
We had Caspi before. He came over in the Oshik trade.
Yeah, I think he asked to be let go so he can go to Sacramento.
Yeah, he did.
I think it was you don't want to be here, so that's cool. You can go.
Yeah,
we do right by players.
Gordon, who it did just didn't make any sense to just let leave. I think our organization does a good job of kind of working with the players, sending them where they want to go or letting them go. Yeah. Or I think we do a good job of that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much that actually means, but
I wonder where they're going to send Terrence Jones.
I don't know. He did request a trade, so I'm assuming they'll trade him for something.
Yeah.
He's played well enough to deserve minutes.
Yeah, I hope they. I heard Cleveland might be interested with the injury of Kevin Love. Cleveland's obviously weighing their options on a lot of things at the moment.
But I think they still. Well, one of their trade exceptions ran out, but I think they have one more left.
Yeah.
I think they could just take him.
We picked up a trade exception. A 3.5.
3.5 for Buddy.
Yeah, that's pretty solid, I'd say. Enough to fit a Justin Holiday, which I've been begging for.
I don't see how that would happen, but sure.
It's the Knicks. Anything could happen.
Are they just selling their...
The Knicks are just kind of like the Kings.
Players?
I don't know. I mean, Justin Holiday, like, what are the Knicks going to do with Justin Holiday? Like, let's just give him a second rounder and be done with it, you know?
Hey, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I kind of wish that Atlanta was still asking for a second rounder for Tim Hardaway. Like, that would be a great guy.
Yeah.
But I think they'd probably want a first for him now. They're loading up. They traded for Ersan.
Did we trade... I got to get this right. Did we trade ours or Philly's second round pick?
Philly's.
Okay. I see. Yeah, that makes sense.
Thank you, Ishmith.
Thank you, Ishmith.
Thank you, Ishmith.
Well, the game's tomorrow.
It's going to be
crazy.
Everyone's
on the edge of their seats.
It's going to be absolutely crazy.
Oh.
You're going to have to text me updates.
I'm so excited. Like, I'm just...
There hasn't been this big of a buzz around the franchise in a long time. And that includes, you know, local media and national media. And fans, you know, you're seeing more and more people starting, like, this is anecdotal evidence, but I'm seeing more people rep Pelicans gear around me over the last few days out and about in the city. Everyone at work has kind of come up to me. They know I'm a Pelicans fan. They're like, hey, what do you think about this new Boogie guy? And I'm like, yeah, he's great, man. He's great.
This Boogie guy. I've never heard of him.
Boogie guy. He's the Boogie man. That's
not a good one.
No, but the vibe is tangible. Yeah. And I think it's a great move for the city. It's a great move for the franchise. And I think Dell Demps did save his job, along with possibly Alvin Gentry's. But it's a great move.
This could be the changing of the tide.
This could be a dynasty in the making. Okay, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But
this is like Lord of the Rings when Gandalf comes back Gandalf the White comes back, and he's like, I've returned to you now.
I've returned.
The turn of the tide.
Yep.
If anybody cares, this is what this is like. Boogie is like a white Gandalf.
Or Boogie... see, I can just imagine Boogie saying, looks like meat is back on the menu, boys.
That's right. Boogie's a bad guy. Boogie's an important guy, nonetheless. There you go.
It'd be awesome if he said that, like, before a first-round playoff game. Proceed to destroy Golden State.
This is something that popped in my head. One more thing. Sorry. Okay. I keep saying last thing, but one more thing. Who's going to get announced last in the lineup announcements at home games? I assume it's AD, it'll be Buggy.
Just because of consistency. Like, these guys are pretty like religious with their pregame rituals.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they saved, like, you know, number zero, DeMarcus Cousins, you know, like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe.
I assume tomorrow they're going to do it. Cousins will be the big name at the end with the fire. Mm-hmm. And introducing for the first time. But this leads into something bigger, I guess, that we can discuss another time. But yeah, it's still Davis's team.
It is Davis's team. He wears the pants, right?
He does.
He's the one that has his face on a city building.
Oh, yeah.
Not even Drew Brees has that.
That's true. He makes more money than Drew.
He does make more money than Drew.
Well, on the court. I don't know about investment-wise. I don't know about all that, but...
Well, he's invested in H&R Block, so he does his tax as well.
Block.
Can you imagine the tandem AD and Boogie commercials, whatever investments they can get come up with?
Nothing will ever top the...
Let him have
No problem.
Let him have
it. Let him have it. That's the bet. Nothing will ever top that.
Man.
Ever.
I'm sure they'll come up with something.
I'm going to go watch that right now.
You should go watch that right now. Well, Pelicans fans, thanks for listening. Tune in next time when we have more Boogie news.
Booger.
Booger.